everyone. Welcome to the podcast. This week, we are having a chat about whether or not you can schedule your creativity. And this has come about because I am shifting my mindset a little bit around how I approach time. So we're talking about whether you schedule things or whether you take a more relaxed approach to how you do things. So join us for this conversation and I hope that you enjoy it.
Hello, Laura. How are you going?
I'm good. It's been a bit of an interesting morning this morning because we decided that we're going to record the podcast today. And for the very first time ever, I felt like I didn't have anything to talk about.
Well, it is episode 67.
I know, but I'm surprised that this hasn't happened earlier. But I actually spent a good hour or so this morning going, I've got nothing. I'm stuck. And one of the reasons for that is because I have been taking a little bit of a step back from the art business and haven't been as hands-on as I usually am. And that's been quite deliberate because we had a period of quite intense work, particularly leading up to the last online class that we put out to the world. And after that, I just felt like I needed a bit of a break and also just to realign, rebalance and get sort of other priorities in check. So because of that, I've been doing other things and things around the home, things with the kids, just getting our lives, I guess, back into order in some way. I almost feel like I've slowed down too much. Yeah, I've definitely been finding it a little bit hard to get back into flow, creative flow, so creative work. And I've been having a bit of a debate in my head about it as well, because we talk a lot about consistency in this podcast. I mean, that's a word that comes up all the time, that you need to show up, you need to, you know, make time for your creativity, that you need to have discipline. But then on the other hand, I've been thinking a lot about whether creativity can work to a schedule. Can you tell it when to show up? How do you kind of find that balance? Because creativity has its own ebb and flow, and we certainly experience that. We have days where we try, but it's just not happening, and often we have to just walk away. And so there is a fine line between showing up and forcing it in a way to recognizing that sometimes you do need to wait until the time is right, in a sense. Deep down, I know that it's some combination of the two. So we need to show up, but we also need to have compassion and, I guess, give ourselves a bit of space too. Some kind of magical combination of those two things. Because if we force things too much, then we're at a risk of burnout eventually at some point. And with creatives and freelancers, we need to be very aware of this, because it's always sort of threatening when we work really hard and force things. But then on the other hand, if we are too, how do I say this, like just waiting for the spark, you know, too sort of airy-fairy in a way with it all, then nothing happens. So what I'm trying to decide at this point in time, and maybe this conversation will help me work through this, is how to get the spark back but still maintain that respect for the ups and downs of creativity. So I'm looking at kind of a new approach to how I do things, because for most of this year I have been, well, I should say we really, because we've been trying hard to have more systems, more processes, to be better planners, and I'm going to chat a little bit about that. But we've realized there's been lessons learned along the way about how we also need to be flexible. So that's what this conversation is about today, in a nutshell. So the question is, can creativity work to a schedule? Well, I have to say, I have definitely tried to get creativity to work to a schedule this year. I love all things productivity. I'm a little bit of a nerd when it comes to systems and organization. I'm not super extreme. I'm pretty relaxed in many ways, but I do like to try different things. I get enthusiastic about new ways of doing things, thinking that I'm going to find some kind of magical answer.
As long as it involves a list.
Yeah, I do love an old list. So if you cast your mind back to the beginning of this year, I got a planner. And do you remember we sat down and we actually worked through some of the mm-hmm. questions at the beginning of the planner to help us become better planners? So I started the year with a yearly planner. So I've never really used one of those before. And I've continued on with that this year. You know that I love Trello. I use that. That is hugely valuable to me as a tool. It's an online planning, project management, to-do type system. That's where I dump all of my ideas. So I have different boards because it works in a way where you have boards that you can kind of drag and drop things. It's quite, you know, I'm just not really visual, but it's a hell of a lot nicer than a spreadsheet. Yeah. So I use that for planning out the podcast, planning out online classes, planning my week. I plan out all the content for the year. Like, there's a lot in there. It's very juicy. I've tried to a certain extent, and we've talked about this on the podcast, like blocking out time and having different days for different things. That one's been not hugely successful, although we have stuck to 2 days of the week. We have a day where we generally record the podcast and now our vlog, and then we have a day where I have mostly an admin day. So Mondays and Wednesdays are kind of those 2 days where we do work that we've designated on a specific day. So that has worked a little bit, but then things come up, life gets in the way, you go traveling, all sorts of things happen, and we have to shuffle the days around, and that's inevitable, but it has worked, mostly. We've also had Monday morning meetings where we get our diaries out to help us sort of work out who's doing what. And that's been good. That's worked well. We made a big effort to bring in some planning and structure into our business this year. Another area that I worked on, well, I've worked a lot around like my daily schedule and playing around with when I do what and what time I work to and then what time I spend with the kids, and then do I hop back on in the evenings and do a bit more work in the evenings? Do I do a block of work in the morning? Like, I have fiddled around endlessly with that, trying to structure and, you know, put my creative energy into designated spots during the week. Recently, I have found myself stepping away a little bit from this idea of trying to schedule every day. I've been wanting to invite more flexibility into the week. So I still recognize the value in things like having our Monday morning meetings, having some designated days where we focus on things. But what I've learned is that sometimes you might try something, it doesn't really go to plan, and the best thing to do is to just walk away, do something else, go for a walk, make muffins, and then come at it the next day, because you might find the next day you're in a better state, a better flow state. And what I find is that when you're in a flow state, it just happens. You work. Like, I can hop onto my computer, say if I need to come up with an idea or brainstorm an idea for a podcast or an online class, and I can just tap away and everything just flows out of me, or I open up a notebook. And when I'm in a flow state, it's kind of effortless. Whereas if I'm not in that, it is tough. Like, I just hit wall after wall after wall. I do believe in showing up, but only for a little amount of time. When it starts to really get difficult, I think often there's something there that you need to address.
There's a couple of things there I want to ask you about. The first thing is back to your schedule. When you had everything scheduled, like your meetings, your podcast, your vlog, what would happen to you if something that was scheduled didn't happen for whatever reason? You know, like one of the kids was homesick.
Yeah.
And then your whole schedule got thrown out by a day. How would that affect you? Would you be just like water off a duck's back and move on? Or what would happen?
Absolutely not. And this is one of the reasons why I am stepping away from this rigid schedule, because what happens is when it gets thrown off, you get very thrown off and it affects you emotionally. I would find myself being very frustrated, very short, very, you know, not able to just move with the change, but feeling like, oh, now I'm behind and now everything is stuffed up. And that's what a rigid schedule would do to me. It would make me feel like if I one thing kind of got messed up, then everything was a disaster. That sounds a bit extreme.
It doesn't to me.
But yeah, so I've started to resist this rigid schedule because I feel like when things are a little bit more flexible, then you can roll with changes more easily. But also when spontaneous things happen that are good, you can enjoy them.
Yeah, and that's the second part of what I wanted to ask you. You enjoy a rigid schedule, but it has the potential to upset you.
Yeah.
But then being more free and flexible, how does that make you feel when there's times where you're feeling you're not doing enough because it's not scheduled and you're in the garden instead of the studio? Or
well, this is the dilemma that I've had recently, is because I've had this more flexible schedule. So what that means is if I'm not feeling it, then I'll get up and go for a walk, or go and do some gardening for half an hour or something, pull some weeds out, or even read a book in the middle of the day, just open up my book. But then I start to feel guilty that I'm not working enough, that I'm taking these breaks. And I started to feel that way even though when I was working, I was being more productive. I was starting to confuse busyness with productivity. Because I wasn't busy, I thought I wasn't being productive.
So you've been doing this fluid, relaxed, flexible type of work. Have you been feeling, you know, that you're not doing enough? Like, has that feeling crept in at any time?
Well, it did this morning. I started to get frustrated at myself because I felt like I didn't have a grip on everything in my art business all of a sudden.
So if I was to ask you what you have done in the last 4 or so weeks in the time you've been experimenting with this flexible structure, how much work have you actually got done?
Well, that's where my head went to. So emotionally, I was like starting to berate myself for not having done enough work and spending too much time doing nice things, reading books and stuff. And then I started to dig in deep and look for some facts around what had I been doing. And that's when I realized that I'd actually done quite a lot of work. It just didn't feel like work. So some of the things that I have been doing in the background, you know, scheduling artist interviews for the next sort of round of the podcast, I have been working on a plan for a bigger online class. So rather than the mini format that we have been using for our art classes, a longer, more involved, engaging experience. And I've been doing a lot of groundwork for that and having ideas even when I am out weeding the garden. And we also did our accounting for the year. So
that was big.
Yeah, we have 3 businesses between us. So that was a big undertaking to get that all ready for the accountant. What else have I been working on? Another thing that I've been experimenting with lately, and I was a bit nervous about it, to be honest, but I have been trying out doing some Facebook ads and using them to promote my online classes. So that's been a little bit of a steep learning curve. I don't know if anyone who's listening has ever gone into the world of Facebook advertising. I wonder whether you found it quite as daunting and frustrating as I did. But there's a lot of different parameters that you can set, and where do you target and where do you show your ads and what kind of format. There's all different types of ads. It's a rabbit hole if you want to go down it. And I did go down it to a certain extent. And this is just one of those things where it's work, but because it's, I don't know, it's not something that super excites me. It's not painting. It's not, you know.
Yeah, it's not vlogging. It's not podcasting.
Yeah, so it's something that even though I did the hours to understand it and put it into practice, and it's actually delivered some wonderful results to the business, I didn't place a lot of value on the work, even though I did it. So it's now I've realised that in amongst doing all these other things, I actually did a really useful piece of work around Facebook advertising in the last couple of weeks. And it's just another one of those things, you know, it's work, but sometimes you don't pay enough attention to the things that you do, like underneath, you know, the things that don't show up, they're not, you know, pretty and exciting, but yeah, they're still important.
And you're not making it with your hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just out in the internet somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I also did a outline for a book proposal, so I have no idea where that might go, but that was something that I've been doing in the background. And
that was a lot of work.
Yeah, well, it was actually a very worthwhile experience because it got me thinking about the way that I make art and teach and the why of it all. So I really enjoyed the process of doing that.
And we got lots of work done around the house. So it's not like we would have been able to do much work creatively.
Well, that's right, because we have been doing a huge amount of home maintenance. We had our carpets in all the bedrooms changed last week. So all of our furniture from the bedrooms was in the living area. Everything was higgledy-piggledy. We've had painting going on. We've had garden renovations, all sorts of stuff. So there's been a lot of that, which is naturally going to be distracting, and you're not going to find the focus that maybe you would when everything is quiet and calm. So when I thought about it and I realized that I've actually been quite productive, even though it hasn't felt like it, in the sense that I haven't spent a huge amount of hours in the studio, I haven't spent a huge amount of hours at my desk, on my computer, but there has been some wonderful stuff brewing and some stuff that just had to be done. It's not the kind of stuff you want to shout from the rooftops because it's not exciting. You know, doing your accounting, I'm not going to necessarily post that on Instagram.
Here's my garden. Look at my petunias.
Yeah, so there's been all this stuff that's still been worthwhile, but it also comes down to how you measure your productivity and your worth as well. And so I had to look at it all and go, do I really want to go back to scheduling every hour of my life, or is there something good happening here that I shouldn't ignore? As in, I'm taking breaks when I need to, and I am acting on my flow state when I get into it.
Is this something that happened by accident? You were very structured going into the course, Abstract Landscapes, and then we had a holiday. And then since the holiday, we've had house maintenance, we've done the gardening ourselves, we did our accounts, you had the book proposal, the children went back to school. There's a lot of life stuff going on there. Because of that, you kind of had to be more flexible. And now that we're getting back into work, as in the way we normally work, are you now going to try and find a happy medium between the two? Like, what lessons have you learned is what I'm asking. Like, where do you see yourself going in the future? Will you see yourself going back to a structured planning stage or a mixture of these two?
I definitely think that I want some kind of mixture of the two. I felt myself wanting to go back to making a schedule because I was worried I wasn't doing enough work. But then when I really looked at it, I wondered if I was being more productive, like working smarter rather than harder, whether there was something to be said for this more fluid approach. I feel like to have this fluid approach, you do need to understand yourself and have a level of self-discipline. So I know that when I get an idea and I get excited, I will run into my studio or I will run to my computer to like get it out, because that's the kind of person I am. What I want to do is trust that a little bit more, to trust that when I have an idea that I will run with it, but if I'm not feeling it, then that's okay too. So I do want a more fluid approach, but there's always going to be things that need to be done. It's helpful to have those as markers in the week so that you do have some commitments, some things that you have to show up for. And we have that naturally by things like our podcast, our vlog, things that we put out regularly that need to happen. I like having that structure, but then on the other days, having more freedom in there. So I guess I am doing a little bit of both. But what I wanted to talk about actually was where some of these ideas came from around my shift in time, because it didn't just happen. There were some things that inspired me. So I wanted to mention those. And one of them I mentioned out to my newsletter subscribers last week when I sent out my newsletter. I actually touched a little bit on this because I'd read an article in Flow magazine by Christine Kale, and it was about the Chinese perspective on time. And she has been living in China for the last 15 years. She talks about how the Chinese treat time quite differently and how there's no such thing as a waste of time. Time isn't the enemy, whereas in Western culture, we're much more, you know, we're just trying to squeeze as much as we can in, and we're often saying things like, when people say, how are you? It's, oh, I'm so busy. I'm so busy. She talks about this idea of being more flexible, more relaxed about how you do things, not being so hung up on things starting at a certain time or finishing at a certain time, and being more open to enjoying things in the present moment. So if someone comes over, knocks on your door, you receive them and you value your time with them. So it's about valuing time rather than looking at time with a scarcity mindset. So rather than someone knocking at your door and it being unexpected and therefore you're like, oh, I don't have time for this. It's more like someone coming to your door, you seeing them and being delighted that you have time for them. So it's a very different kind of mindset. I found the article fascinating and inspiring because it made me want to be more present and more relaxed about time so that I could enjoy moments as they come up.
Yeah, you become more mindful.
Yeah, I feel like when I overschedule, I miss out on opportunities to be present. That's where I'm treading a fine line, because I want to get things done. I have an art business. It's how we make an income. It's how we feed our family. So I want to get things done, but I also want to be able to
have someone knock on your door and it not be an inconvenience.
Yeah. I want to, you know, like if my kids want to do something after school, I want to be able to say yes. If they say, can we go to the playground or the skate park after school? I want to be able to immediately recognize that that is valuable time too. Mm-hmm. And be able to shuffle things in my diary without even really having to think about it and just say, yeah, I can do that now because I'll have some time tomorrow. You know, like I just want to be able to do that.
Yeah, because it's important to say yes in those circumstances, because there's going to be times where you have to say no.
Yes.
If there's a window of opportunity to do it, then we should be taking it and not saying no all the time.
Yeah.
Because we perceive that we're a slave to time.
That's right. This is about being a slave to time. And that's where if I have it on my schedule that between, you know, 4 o'clock and 5 o'clock, that's when I do my emails, for example. And then 4 o'clock is the same time when my son wants to go to meet up with his friends at the skate park. I don't want to be going, oh, well, I can't because this is when I'll get my emails done. And that's what I worry about when my schedule is too rigid, that those sorts of things happen.
Sorry, Asher, you're not scheduled in between 4 and 5. Come back on Wednesday.
People are going to think I'm crazy with my schedule now, but to be honest, it never really worked.
No.
But I did try. I gained a lot from that article about how the Chinese are more flexible with their time, that they respect that life has its own rhythm, that there are things that are going to happen. And I just feel like there is so much that you can't predict with life. It's important to be able to be comfortable with change, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow?
Nobody.
You know, and what you might be dealing with, for example. Sometimes making art isn't that important. you know, sometimes something else is bigger and needs your time, and that's okay. And I want to mention another one of my, I guess, sources for inspiration in relation to this slightly more relaxed approach to time. It's an interview with Heather Havrileski, and it's over on one of my all-time favorite websites, Extraordinary Routines by Madeline Dorr. Absolutely love that website. She interviews all sorts of creatives, authors, painters, musicians, and she has an interest or a passion in daily routines, which I do too. I love hearing about how other people approach creative life. I've mentioned that on the podcast before. Anyway, in this interview, she chats with Heather. Heather is an author and columnist for the New York Magazine. She has a column called Ask Polly, and she talks about how she has this fluid or relaxed approach to creativity. And one of the quotes that's in the interview is, "Some days we plan to create and some days we end up eating muffins." I actually have that as one of my quotes that I have on my desktop, and it cycles through. I have a whole load of quotes, and it actually came up today, which is very fitting because this morning all I felt like was making muffins or eating muffins rather than getting the work that I needed to get done. It's just a lovely interview because she talks about how she doesn't try and force her writing, and yet she does have tremendous discipline. So it's like what we're talking about, finding that balance, because while she takes a fluid approach, it doesn't mean that she's not working. It's just that she recognizes that there is this ebb and flow, and that sometimes she'll write and it's wonderful, and other times she isn't feeling it, so she's not going to force it. So she says that. She says, this is a quote from the interview, "At the moment, it feels like my productivity is way down because I'm trying not to force myself to write if I'm not really feeling it. That said, when I do write, I really like what I am writing. So I suppose it's a little bit of a trade-off."
It's exactly what you talk about yeah. when you go into your studio to paint.
Yeah.
If you're not feeling it, you paint anyway.
Yes.
Just to see yeah. what comes out.
Yeah, I think I'm just coming back to my overall philosophy, which I've always held on to, which is showing up, but only for a while to see if there's something there that you can work with. But if not, to cut your losses and go out and do something else. Go and enjoy yourself. Find a spark somewhere, because I don't believe in pushing yourself for hours and hours and hours if it's not happening, like really forcing it. I think it's good to show up to see if it comes, but if it doesn't, then move on. So just to loop back, the initial question that I asked at the beginning of this podcast was, can creativity work to a schedule? I think I'm still kind of on the fence. It sort of can and it can't. What do you reckon?
I know that the flow state is the holy grail for all elite sports people and sports psychologists. Nobody knows how do you switch that on or off. So I'm a big firm believer in that you can't schedule it. But if you're not doing it, you will never achieve it.
Mm. So you can't schedule it, but you've got to create opportunities for the flow state to happen.
Correct.
Yeah. So there is that balance. And
I heard a great quote the other day. If we spend all of our time learning and not enough time doing, we will end up becoming overmotivated underachievers.
That is so true. That is, we can get so fixated on the learning and the information gathering. So I think with that said, going forwards, I'm going to maintain some kind of schedule. We'll still do our Monday morning meetings. I'll still be obsessive about Trello as my place to put all my ideas and gather my thoughts. We have our podcast, our vlog, those things that anchor us during the week. So to make sure that we are still in the game. But what I want to do is have a little bit more flex in between those things. So I'm going to kind of abandon my everyday schedule, you know, make sure that I know what I'm doing for every hour of the day and have some looseness in there so that I can be more present and open to possibilities when they come through in the moment. So before we go this week, I did want to share a lovely review that we received over on iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, I believe is the official name. So the review is refreshing, inspiring, and encouraging. It comes from Irate Parent. That's an interesting name.
Sure it wasn't me.
I like that. So the review is, Laura showed up on my Instagram as a sponsor account. I usually ignore them, but I am so glad I checked her out. I've taken a couple of her online classes and now found her podcast. I'm a self-taught artist, only a few months in, and I'm so encouraged by her work and her podcast. Thank you so much for sharing your time and talent, Laura.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And thank you so much for sharing that review. And it's also very encouraging to me because I mentioned earlier in the podcast how I had spent that time working on Facebook advertising. And there you go. There's a review from a sponsored post over on Instagram. So they work.
Yes. And all that worry about what will people think of me with my sponsored podcast.
Yeah, I know. Because I'm a bit the same. I tend to just flick past them. Mm-hmm. But having said that, every now and then, if there's something there that just hits me right at the time that I'm looking for that information, which of course the interweb gods have that way of delivering information to you that makes you go wonder what's happening.
Who's watching me? Big brother.
Then I'll click through and see what it's all about. So I do appreciate people out there that are doing the same for me. Thanks everyone this week for tuning in. And if you are enjoying the podcast, please do leave us a review. We absolutely love them and we'll be sharing them here over on the podcast. And I just wish you all a wonderful week ahead.